Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. That is, what did the apostles and the disciples actually believe and practice from the Word of God, which is the truth? And to understand the prophecies of the end times, because we're living in the end times, and unless you rightly divide the Word of God in order to understand it, you're not going to understand the prophecies of the end time. Just like we've already covered, there is not going to be a secret rapture. We're going to now come to Revelation, the sixth chapter, and we will look at the first six seals in Revelation 6. Because there are going to be astounding things that are going to take place. And these are worldwide events. One thing I want you to understand when you read the book of Revelation, like one man emailed me and said, well, how can you understand the book of Revelation when it's all written in symbolic language? And I said, the way you understand Revelation is that you understand the symbolic language by understanding the prophecies in the rest of the Bible that pertain to the end times, and they come together like a puzzle that is properly put together. It's kind of like, have you ever had a 1,000-piece puzzle, and you look at the pieces, and most of them all look the same, and you don't know how to put it together. But remember, if you put one together, remember how you felt when you put that last piece in the proper place, and there you had the whole picture. Well, when you understand enough of the rest of the Bible, then Revelation is like the last couple of hundred pieces in a 1,000-piece puzzle to give you the whole picture as to what is going on. So let's begin here in Revelation, the sixth chapter. And as we saw, Jesus Christ was the only one who was worthy to open the seals. So let's begin Revelation 6 and verse 1. And I looked, and when the Lamb opened one of the seals. So there's Christ opening the seal. I heard one of the living creatures say, like the sound of thunder, come and see. And I looked, and behold, there was a white horse. And the one who was sitting on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. Now, first mistake that is made. People read that and say, oh, a white horse. Well, Jesus is on a white horse in Revelation 19. This has to be Jesus. No. This is the false Christ. This is the false religious leader riding a white horse. Now, stop and think for a minute. Who opened the seal? Jesus did. Did it say that he came down and got on that horse? No. It's not talking about Jesus. So those who believe that are entirely wrong. So you see, one thing never do. Never bring your opinion to the Scriptures unless you put it together with the rest of the Scriptures and you get the whole picture. And when you read the verses, read them and think about them and analyze them, and don't jump to conclusions that you think are correct. You've got to prove it. You've got to prove it. So let's look at how this fits in with what we've already covered. And the one who was sitting on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. What religious person has a great crown? And what religious system did we examine in Revelation 17 that rules over the nations and the kings like a royal person? None other than Rome, and none other than the one who rules the Vatican. And so this will become a time of religious cooperation. What will appear to be for a time a one world religion. And as we saw with the false prophet in Revelation 13, and this is that false prophet. And this is when he begins his work. And that false prophet of Revelation 13 did great signs and wonders and miracles, called fire down from heaven. And this is when the world's religions will come together. Now notice, this conquering is not by war. This conquering is by religion. Looks like Christ, sounds like Christ, just like it said back there in Revelation 13. Look like a lamb, but what? Spoke like a dragon. Now the time is coming. The groundwork is already being done. These prophecies will come to pass. Now let's come to verse 3. And when he, Christ, had opened the second seal. So you see, this verse also tells us that it's not Christ sitting on the horse, because he's still at the throne of God, opening the seals. And when he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come and see." And another horse went out that was red, and power was given to the one sitting on it to take peace from the earth. Now let's think about this for a minute. What have we read at the end time that is going to take place? First of all, there is a covenant of 7 years, Daniel 9:27. In the midst of that 7 years, that covenant is going to be broken. And how is that covenant broken? The king of the south will push at the king of the north. The king of the north shall come against the king of the south. And he shall come into the Holy Land, into Libya, and Ethiopia will be at his doorsteps. And he's going to go into the glorious land. And as we saw with other scriptures, sit in the temple of God and say that he is God. That also coincides with the time when Satan is cast down and he persecutes the church and then goes to make war against the remnant of those who have the testimony of Jesus Christ and keep his commandments. So here is a great world ruler. This is the one of Revelation 13 who received the deadly wound that is healed and then is given dominion over the whole earth of every language and nation and tongue, except those who have been written in the book of life. He is the one right here where the war starts and the persecution begins, and then we will see that develops into martyrdom of the saints. So many things are taking place here at this time. Those who are going to go to a place of safety will be taken. Those who are not going to go to a place of safety will prepare for martyrdom. Now notice how powerful this is going to be, because you have to tie this in with Revelation 13, as we have already covered. Take peace from the earth. Now when that 7-year covenant is signed, there will be peace for a while, such as the world has never experienced. This is why it says in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, when they shall say peace and security, which they will have for the first half of the 7 years, then sudden destruction comes upon them. And here is the sudden destruction. King of the south goes against the king of the north. King of the north comes against the king of the south, goes right into the temple and says, "I am God." And now he declares war. Let's see what's going to happen, because the sword is war. Takes peace from the earth and causes them to kill one another, and a great sword was given to him. We're going to see what happens once that war starts. Now, this is not talking about Revelation, the 8th chapter. That's in addition to it later on. What is prophesied against the descendants of Israel? They are going to be conquered. The armies will come and possess everything that they have, and they will be carried off into captivity, and a lot of them will be in captivity in their own land in detention camps. Now notice what happens right after that, after war. And when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, there was a black horse, and the one sitting on it had a balance in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures say, "A measure of wheat for a silver coin, and three measures of barley for a silver coin, and see that you do not damage the oil and the wine." Just like when any war starts, there's going to be all of a sudden a need for food because supplies are going to be cut off. And so here now comes rationing. Here now comes the setting the stage for the next one, which is starvation. So when the second seal is open, seal 2, 3, and 4, and 5 start very quickly, one right after the other. Because when you have war and lack of food and lack of water, famine and starvation set in immediately. Doesn't take very many days or weeks for it to occur, even if you had a supply of food for, what, 3, 4, 5, or 6 weeks, what are you going to do after that? Now let's go on to the next one. Let's see what happens. And when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, there was a pale horse, and the name of the one sitting on it was Death. And the grave followed him, and authority was given to them over a fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, with famine, with death, and by the beast of the earth. Now you see, a fourth part of the earth. And if you look at the nations, the modern nations of Israel today, United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, the United Kingdom, that covers approximately one-fourth of the earth. Now, this has nothing to do with Revelation, the 8th chapter, with the kings of the north and the east. That comes after this. Verse 9, "And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony that they held." Now, this is in vision. Notice, this is only those who had previously been martyred. Not all true believers in Jesus Christ have been martyred. Many of them live their lives and die and go to their place of safety, as we've seen, in the grave. So if all souls went to heaven, why doesn't it show the souls of those who died peacefully? Well, because this is a vision to explain something to John. This is not that souls were actually there. This was a vision to portray to him about this martyrdom compared to the martyrdoms in the past. "Slain for the word of God and for the testimony that they held. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, do you not judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?' And white robes were given to each of them, and they were told that they should rest a short season yet until it be fulfilled that both their fellow servants and their brethren also would be killed as they had been killed." This ties in with Revelation 17, where the woman who's riding the beast, and the beast is the great military power here. The woman who is riding the beast is the white horse. So it's a different way of explaining the same system, but they work together. And so that now we have the martyrdom of saints that has not occurred since the Dark Ages and the Middle Ages. And remember, it was the church that ordered it. And it was the civilian government that carried out the execution. And remember, the highest mass is the Inquisition execution of heretics. And all who believe in the true Jesus Christ, who love God the Father in Jesus Christ, who keep the commandments, who keep the Sabbath, who keep the holy days, are hated and despised by this great religious organization, and the office of Inquisition is still alive and well in the Vatican, and it is called the Office of Doctrine. Now, martyrdom begins. How long will that be? We're not told. But we know that there is the tribulation against Israel. We know that their lands are going to be invaded. We know that they will be in captivity in the end times. So the fourth part of the earth that this covers has to be against the modern descendants of Israel today. Now we're going to look and see some scriptures here which tell about God's punishment of Israel in the end time, and we are going to see how this is going to come about, and it will give us an approximate time frame of the first four seals of Revelation 6. Now, let's come back here to Hosea, the fifth chapter. Now, this tells us something very important concerning the punishment of Israel in the end times. And that's United States, Canada, United Kingdom, Australia, and New Zealand. Back here in Hosea, the fifth chapter, God tells us how he's going to correct them. They finally, with their sins, and he's going to let the king of the north come against them. Sound a little bit like a repeat of World War II? Now let's come to Hosea 5. Now it talks about Ephraim and Judah. Ephraim refers to the 10 tribes. Judah refers to the priests, the Levites, and some of the Benjamites with the Jews. Notice how they are both included here in this prophecy, and it's a prophecy of the end time, and it starts out right here in the middle of chapter 5 and carries on to chapter 6. So let's read it beginning in verse 9. Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke among the tribes of Israel, see? And this is an end time thing. The tribes are still here. Contrary to the propaganda of the Jews, the Israelites didn't intermarry into the Gentiles and just disappear. That's contrary to every prophecy that is contained even in the Old Testament, which the Jews themselves have. Among the tribes of Israel I have made known that which will surely be, that is the witness of the gospel. The rulers of Judah were like those who move a border. I will pour out my wrath upon them like water. And that's what's going to happen to the Jews. Ephraim is crushed and broken in judgment because he willingly walked after vanity. Therefore, I am as a moth to Ephraim and to the house of Judah as rottenness. And that's a perfect description of what is happening to the 10 tribes of Israel today, and to Judah over there in Palestine, which they call Israel today. Now notice what happens here, verse 13. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah saw his wound, then Ephraim went to the Assyrian and sent to King Contentious. King Contentious is that beast power of Revelation 13. And this also identifies him as one who is a descendant of ancient Assyria. Now, there's historical evidence to show that the Assyrians are modern-day Germany. So this is repeat and repeat again, is it not? Yes, indeed. Yet he could not heal you nor cure you of your wound. For I will be to Ephraim as a lion, and as a strong lion to the house of Judah. I will tear and go away. I will take away, and none shall rescue him. A fourth part of the earth by the giant sword of the king of the north. And he is going to inflict the wrath of God, the punishment and judgment of God, against all the 12 tribes of Israel. That's going to come. That fits right in there with the seals number 2, 3, 4, and 5. Let's read it. Continuing verse 15. I will go, I will return to my place until they confess their guilt and seek my face. In their affliction they shall seek me earnestly. Yes, they will repent, and we will see. Given a time frame here in chapter 6 when that repentance will come. Remember, at the end time, the Great Tribulation is how long? 3.5 years, right? Keep that in mind. We also know from prophecy in Numbers 14:34 that a day in prophecy is 1 year in fulfillment. So keep that in mind. 1 year is a day. We saw times half a time, that's 3.5 years. Okay? Now let's come to chapter 6 and see their repentance. Hosea 6. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he is torn. They repent. They come back to God. And isn't that always the way? Look what happened when 9/11 took place. Oh, God bless America. Oh, everybody go to church, go to synagogue. Now they're in captivity. They've lost all their wealth, their homes, everything that they have. Well, they'll repent, and we will see an exact time frame which will fit right into the 3.5 year period. Hosea 6 and verse 1, come let us return to the Lord, for he is torn, and he will heal. Have mercy upon us. He has smitten, and he will bind up. So Israel repents. God says in other prophecies that I turned my back on Israel until she repented. Now notice, verse 2 is a key and gives us an exact time frame. So we can figure exactly when the sixth seal will be opened. So let's read it. After 2 days, that phrase, after 2 days, how long is a day in prophecy? A year. How long is 2 days? 2 years. Out of 3.5 years tribulation, how much time is left? A year and a half. So let's read it again here. After 2 days, he will revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. And what is he going to do to raise them up? And how does this event tie in with the return of Christ? Now, we'll see that. And it's going to be absolutely awesome and spectacular. And it's going to be an event that the whole world will know. And it's going to be so absolutely awesome and breathtaking that every eye is going to see it. Everyone on earth will be affected by it. And Jesus Christ is going to announce his intervention in absolutely no uncertain terms. There can be no mistaking that it is Christ from heaven who is doing it. And that takes place at the end of 2 years in the 3.5 years of tribulation at the end. Now, if you want more details about all of this, you go to cbcg.org or other website and download the series, Daniel in Revelation. We have 2 charts that go with it. and it explains about the 1,260 days, 1,290 days, 1,335 days. It has the framework of the holy days and shows how we can know that part of the times and seasons, okay? But also remember this, as we'll see a little later. How does Christ make himself known to the world? That from the time that he makes himself known to the world, that time on earth will be completely inaccurate, so that no man will know the time or the season. Now, we're going to see some tremendous and fantastic prophecies that are given in Daniel and Revelation and Isaiah and Jeremiah take place. So you go to cbcg.org and you download the series Daniel and Revelation series and the charts that go with it. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. I hope that you are understanding these prophecies, that you can look out and see on the world scene that the potential of all of these things are there. And remember what Jesus said, when you see all these things take place, know that the end is near. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. And this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.